again, it's not something that people are like actively believing. Like, I don't think anybody's waking up in the morning and like going through their daily declarations or mm-hmm. affirmations. And they're like, I'm going to be angrier today than I was yesterday. And I'm going to have more power over my kids through anger today. It's like, yeah. It's not something that people are working on.
Right. Not becoming. Necessarily like set out to be like super angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Here we are.
Here we are.
Episode 33.
Ooh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like we just started.
It does.
So over the weekend, this past weekend, I went away on a men's retreat.
You did?
Like a church-wide men's retreat. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievably just amazing group of guys. We had tons of fun. All the teaching was amazing. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about that in a minute. But because I was away, we didn't get to record at our normal time.
Right.
So now it's late Wednesday night.
Back to the nighttime recordings where my brain sometimes works.
Yeah. We'll give it our best.
It'll be great.
So our senior leader, Noah Chant, at our church, which is Be Love Company. If you're watching, you've not heard us mention that. Or if you're listening, we're both on staff at our church. Mm-hmm. I'm the discipleship pastor. You are the kids pastor.
Yes, I am.
And we really love it there. We love our church. We've been with these people for a long time now. Years.
Yeah.
Nine years.
Close to eight. 9 years?
About 8.5.
Okay.
Anyways, our senior leader, Noah, he spoke on apathy and it was so good. In fact, it was so good that he had tons of men asking him, like, hey, do this again on Sunday. Because wow. Everybody who couldn't be here tonight needs to hear this.
Yeah.
And so he did it again church-wide, which was, he said it was kind of hard because the whole thing was directed to men.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so not that, like, women are immune from apathy, but he kind of approached it from the standpoint that, like, apathy is like the silent killer of men and in a lot of ways. And because there's a lot of like very obvious things that you could talk about when you're addressing men. You could talk, you know, talk about lust and you can talk about, you know, all sure. That's like the big, you know, the big one.
Right.
but he said, not that that isn't important, but he said apathy is the thing that people aren't talking about. And because yeah. people aren't talking about it, men are just drifting through life with no ambition,
yeah.
no vision, no right. passion.
Yeah,
and
wow.
It's becoming a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's way less obvious
yeah.
than like what you said, like lust, like that typically surfaces itself. Like it can be,
yeah.
you know, hidden for a long time, but then eventually something's going to come out. But with apathy, it's kind of... I mean, exactly what you said, a mm-hmm. silent killer where it's like, oh, you didn't even like realize it until you do. It's kind of one of those things that you don't realize that you're living
yeah.
just kind of coasting through life until yeah. all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, oh, shoot, what have I been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not even just about, it is coasting through life, but it's also, he also addressed how like men in general, especially in the church, have like withdrawn so much from society, from culture, from the world.
Yeah.
And like how often, and he kept like kind of making these jokes and he's like, I'm not immune to this. I'm the same way. But he's like, how often do you, you know, find yourself at the public library and you see all these books that you cannot believe are, you know, written for kids
yeah.
on, you know, all kinds of like transgender stuff and
yeah.
just pushing, you know,
right.
really tough ideologies
right.
on kids that, they have no business being subject to.
Yeah.
But he's like, how often does that happen? And it's like, you see that and he's like, man, that's so crazy. I can't believe that. Anyways, let's go grab some lunch.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure,
and like, we
yeah.
do that about like everything. There's mm-hmm. so much going on in culture. And he's like, his message was, we need to be thinking about the ways that we ought to be active and involved in society and in culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, fighting for what we believe and fighting for what's right and fighting to protect, you know, younger generations.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll post a link for that for anybody listening. Men, if you're listening, I'm going to post a link. You need to listen to it. Ladies who are listening, listen to it and then see if there's like a non passive aggressive way you can send it to your husband or get him to listen to it. Don't be passive aggressive about it. Don't be weird, but you could just mention like, hey, this is really, really good message.
Super good.
And I know that it came from, it's kind of primary, Noah's primary source of material that he was studying came from John Tyson and Jefferson Bethke. They have a book called Fighting Shadows, which I've not read yet, which I'm meaning to. It's apparently amazing.
I'm sure. Yeah. Those two.
Anything. Yeah. Anything John Tyson does.
Yeah.
If you can get your hands on anything, do it. Read it. Watch it. Listen to it.
All the things.
Yeah. Okay. Really quick question for you and for me.
Yeah. Let's do it.
We were going to do like favorite food.
Yeah.
And then you had the idea, which I want to do that. But then what was your idea?
I realized with those types of like, you know, get to know you questions, which is kind of the point of us doing these questions, is for listeners who don't know anything about us, just fun little facts. You know, it's makes us more, I don't know, personable.
Yeah.
I was like, I just had the realization. I was like, you never really hear anybody ask like, what's your least favorite?
Yeah.
Of these things. It's like, it's always like, what's your favorite animal? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? Like, what's your least favorite food?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite animal? What's going on there?
I know for food, it's hard for me to answer my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know, because there's not like, and I don't even know how you judge that. Because if you ask me, like, if there's one food you have to eat for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I like. There's nothing I like so much that I want to eat it every single day.
Every day.
So I don't know forever. I don't know how to judge that. Now, I do know that there are foods that I hope to never eat.
Sure.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so some of my favorites, like I love a good steak.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Chicago, I love deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sacred Hess family thing.
It is.
Happy
to be brought into that one for sure.
Yes.
Except for when I have to be off of dairy.
Yeah, you've not been able to eat
worst.
It. Least favorite, I hate pickles.
Mm.
I really hate sauerkraut.
Hmm.
I don't usually like being in the same room as sauerkraut. And
well, sorry, especially, I ate a whole sandwich with it the other night.
Especially when it's like, if it's like warm and you can like smell it.
Well, I don't like that. That seems gross. I feel like you shouldn't have warm. Well, I guess I had warm sauerkraut the other night.
Come on. Literally like 2 days ago.
I don't know. I just pictured like a pile of sauerkraut, like sitting with like steam coming off of it. Just a really bad way to think about it. But
yeah,
on a sandwich, it's great.
No, I probably will never eat it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have to.
Yep.
I'm not going to force feed you.
Well, go ahead. What are yours?
All right. So favorite. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, it's the same, but this is probably steak. That feels so lame. Yeah. Wah, wah.
We do but, love a good steak, though.
Yeah. Like, I would never be, well, if you cook it terribly, I'm going to be really disappointed. But like, if you put a well-cooked, medium-rare steak in front of me, I'm always going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I will eat the entire thing.
Yep.
So that would probably be my favorite. But I also love like just a good bowl of spaghetti.
Okay.
Just solid. It's like just comfort food to me. And I love it. I used to eat cold spaghetti.
Yeah. I was
like for breakfast.
I was literally going to make a joke about you.
Yeah.
You say you used to. I feel like it hasn't been that long since you've done that.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, it was used to be like a more regular thing. But anyways, we're not talking about what we did in high school. Yeah. My least favorite foods. I came up with this and now I don't have an answer.
I don't like mustard either. Just throw that out.
It's not your turn. So.
Well, it's got to be somebody's turn.
I don't like tofu. Tofu's nasty.
Okay, I get that.
But I also haven't really had it a lot in my life.
It's probably nasty.
Probably pretty gross. Olives.
Okay.
I don't like olives.
Yeah.
I had a really like traumatizing experience with olives, and so that's why I hated them for a long time. When I was little, Thanksgiving dinner was set up on the table and there was a bowl of grapes on the table. And I was like, hey, I'm going to have some grapes.
Of course.
And so I went and I popped one in my mouth and it was a black olive. Yeah. And I thought that that was the end. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. You know, when you're expecting something completely different and then you like, I was expecting like sweet and juicy and then I got like super salty and like it almost tasted like rotten.
Ugh. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess olives.
Olives. All right.
Olives and tofu.
Okay. Okay. Let's give a little bit of a recap.
Sure.
Just in case somebody's just hopping in. First episode.
Welcome in if you are.
Welcome in. So we have been talking about a couple lies, fallacies, if you will, that are really easy for parents to believe. The first one we talked about is the belief that it's my job to control my kids. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how that's not necessarily something that people like actively, intentionally, or like consciously believe.
Right.
But you can tell that it's something that you believe if your behavior indicates that you attempt to control your kids.
Sure.
Through intimidation, through fear. If you are not okay with your kids making mistakes, it's not helpful. And I'm not going to go too far into that. You can go back two episodes and listen to that because we give a ton of like back, not backstory, but we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis. And there's so much to learn about parenting in that story.
Yeah.
As it reveals a lot about God as a father and his nature and how he relates to us and his heart towards us.
Right.
And from that, we can learn a lot about not just what he's like, but what that means for us towards our kids and how we can take his methods and implement them in our parenting.
Right. Because he's the best example
that
we can look to.
Yeah.
Lots of great fathers here, lots of great mothers here that we can get, you know, advice from as well. But he's the ultimate example.
When you have a perfect one.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know.
Let's go for that one.
How you work.
Yes.
I want to know why you treat me the way you treat me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what your method is for helping me grow up.
Yes.
And I want to figure out how to do that with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Last week, we talked about the lie that anger is power.
Mm-hmm.
Another really easy one to believe. Maybe a little more obvious than the first one even. But again, it's not something that people are like actively believing. Like, I don't think anybody's waking up in the morning and like going through their daily declarations or affirmations. And they're like, I'm going to be angrier today than I was yesterday. And I'm going to have more power over my kids through anger today. It's like, it's not something that people are working on.
Right. Not necessarily like set out to be like super angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if your highest goal as a parent is having obedient kids, if that's number one, then you'll feel really justified in using anger and fear to try to coerce them and compel them to do the things you want them to do.
Yep.
You'll feel very comfortable threatening them, punishing them. And because kids can be, not all of them, not the really strong-willed ones, but a lot of kids can be like pushed around and can be compelled.
Yeah.
Into compliance by using anger and fear and intimidation.
Yeah.
And because it can, in a sense, produce short-term
results.
Results.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for. Then it becomes really easy to believe it. To believe, well, anger does give me power over them.
Right.
Because when there's a power struggle, I can get really angry and then I can, you know, get them to do what I want them to do.
Right. Eventually I'll be loud and scary enough for them to just break under my power.
Right.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
power.
Yeah. And we talked about how it's a joke because the more you are controlled by your anger, the less power you have in the relationship.
Right.
Because the other people actually have more control over your emotions and your behavior than you do.
Yes, because as the more that they push back, the angrier you become.
Yep.
And so are you actually choosing to be angry? Or are you reacting to how they are acting in the moment?
Exactly. Mm. Yes. So your kids will learn that about you, and they'll know which buttons to push and which strings to pull, and they can get the rise out of you that they want.
Yep. Absolutely.
So this week, we're going to take that one just one step further, and we're going to move from anger is power to the lie that violence is power.
Mm.
I think that's just the next step.
Right. Yeah. That comes whenever anger really culminates into something.
Yeah. We can talk about like the shallow end of this, which is just like spanking.
Yeah.
The shallow end of violence is thinking that violence is power is the idea that it's my job to make my kids do what I think they should do. And when they don't do it, I'm going to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, I guess I just didn't hit them hard enough.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's amazing how many parents have that mentality.
Yeah.
And like, there's no like, let's understand what's going on. Let's examine the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out if there's something going on in your mind, in your heart, that's producing this behavior, which spoiler alert, there is.
Right.
But for a lot of parents, it's not, there's no like, I want to understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm going to hit you and however hard I need to get a different behavioral result.
Or to get you to quit doing whatever you're doing. Let's see if I can just like literally smack it out of you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of problems with that. On one hand, you'll never like really teach or equip your kids to handle similar future situations differently.
Yeah.
Your kid makes a mistake or they're just outright disobedient. If you want a different outcome in the future, you're going to have to actually equip them and teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And being angry and spanking just doesn't do that.
It does not.
It'll never, ever produce that result.
No.
Now, that's not to say that we've never spanked.
No.
Because there is a place for spanking.
Yes. It's not. We're not saying that we do not believe in spanking.
Right.
Ever. Yeah.
But.
We don't believe that is.
Well.
The initial.
No.
Response.
That shouldn't be the first response. And. We also believe that if you're a parent and you're going to spank your kid, if you're angry, that's not the time to do it.
Exactly.
Do not spank your kid if you are super heated.
Mm-hmm.
You need to wait until you can calm down.
Yeah. Until you are able to actually think rationally.
Yeah.
Because when you're operating in anger, all rationality goes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I need to get what I want right now, no matter what it takes. And so that just gets real dangerous real fast because logic is not a part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually allow yourself, like you said, to calm down, to actually let your mind think rather than just riding your anger through the whole situation that you're dealing with, when your brain is actually able to process what's going on, that's when like an actual productive spanking can happen.
Right.
Yeah. Which, do you want to explain more of like what that means?
Yeah. So honestly, it's been so long since we've had to spank.
So long.
I don't remember the last time. I can think back to times when Nora was probably 2 or 3, which we're talking like 4 and 5 years ago.
Right. I had to spank her like last year.
Okay.
Sometime.
And when we've gotten to that place, so as we mentioned, that's not like ever step one.
No.
That is, we've gone through the whole tool belt.
Mm-hmm.
We've done everything. We've tried everything. There's nothing else that we have left to do. And so sometimes we have found that a spanking can be really productive and it can actually like shift the moment. So I'll share my last memory. This was, probably 4 years ago. But I remember there was a time when Nora was like so emotionally escalated, like like almost never seen her like that before. Yeah. And I remember, like, we had done everything. I'd done everything I could think of. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, so out of control, flailing, yeah. hitting, screaming, like, so unlike her.
Yeah.
And again, like, like, this doesn't happen, you know? No, so it was such a bizarre thing.
What is happening? Yeah.
And so I was calm. I wasn't upset. I was just trying to figure out, like, what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
But she was totally out of control. And I didn't think she needed to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And so she wouldn't, like, stop hitting me, wouldn't stop yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I kind of grabbed her and I just explained to her, like, okay, I'm going to spank you. And then we're just going to talk about, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I did. And it was, like, so interesting because as soon as I spanked her, she just went completely calm. And she kind of sat up. And then she was like, okay, it was just like it snapped her out of it.
Yeah.
And so then we just sat and we talked about what was going on and we got to, you know, the root of whatever was causing that behavior.
Yeah.
But we got to it and then we talked through it. And of course, like, I held her the whole time.
Yeah.
Hugged her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was around bedtime. And so at the end of bedtime, she and I don't know where you were. You weren't in here, I don't think, for any of this.
Okay.
But we were praying, as we always do at night, and I remember it was her turn to pray, and she, in her prayer, she thanked Jesus for parents that, like, love her and help her, like, through those, like, hard times.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow.
That is amazing.
She's probably 3 years old.
Yeah.
4 years old.
And she's able and to, like, she, process that that was actually helpful.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, being so upset that she was spanked.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, thank you, Jesus.
She literally was so thankful. And it wasn't just the spanking. It was me sitting with her,
mm-hmm.
holding her, hugging her,
yeah,
talking her through what was going on.
Right, remaining calm.
Yeah. I explained, hey, here's why I spanked you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes, yeah, the explanation, I feel like, is so key. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, think about it. As an adult, like, if you just get smacked out of nowhere with no explanation, it's like, well, what the heck? Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have any grounds for why that just happened, it's just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, like, I would think, just have no idea as a kid, you know, I don't have any memories of being spanked. I know I was, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
I, like, you've got to be so confused and, like, maybe feeling a little bit of walking on eggshells of, like, okay, well, that just happened. I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why. So, like, I hope I don't do it again. You know, it's got to be just really,
well,
really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's that. There's, like, the confusion. Sometimes kids get in trouble and they don't actually know what they did wrong. Sometimes kids, when they grow up in an environment like this, where parents are, they're angry, they're controlling, mm-hmm. they use fear and they hit a lot. What happens is kids in that environment, they aren't taught or equipped how to handle that situation differently when it comes up in the future.
Right.
So what kids do learn is just how to hide their mm-hmm. bad behavior. They don't learn how to behave well from getting spanked from angry parents. They don't know how to handle their emotions differently.
Mm-hmm.
They only learn that they don't learn how to take responsibility and make better choices. They just figure out how to continue making the bad choices and just hide it from mom and dad.
Right. Yes.
And so that doesn't work long term.
No.
Parents think that their anger and their violence gives them power because mm-hmm. it produces that short term result that we talked about.
Yeah.
You can effectively get a kid to do something differently on a short term basis,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't help them grow up with self-control or responsibility.
Right.
And punishment only works when there's the presence of a punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And when your kids grow up and they move out of your house, they don't have a punisher anymore.
Yeah.
There's nobody to force them to do the things that mm-hmm. they ought to do because that was your role. And now they don't know how to do that for themselves. They don't know how to make good choices on their own or take responsibility for themselves.
Right.
So the punisher's gone and now I can do whatever I want,
mm-hmm.
no consequences,
yep.
except for the ones that, you know,
right.
catch up with you.
Naturally come. Or they'll put themselves under another Punisher.
Sure.
I think is another result. Either they go buck wild and crazy and then experience like the natural consequences that come with their decisions and choices and, you know, everything that is going on around them. Or I feel like also what can happen is they're like feeling a level of uncomfortability, not having that Punisher, which seems crazy. It seems like it would just be a relief. But when you're so used to that, that feels normal to have somebody like being scary and telling you what to do and getting you in trouble. And so they may find themselves kind of seeking that out in relationships, which can be really scary too.
Yeah.
You know, when you're, when you're grown up and, you know, in adult relationships that can turn into like abusive relationships, which if we can avoid that, steering our kids into that as parents, like, please. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons, and you know, there's a lot of moving parts and factors that would contribute to a parent developing these types of methods. Again, it's rarely that I've thought through every different method of parenting and I've decided that the best one is for me to get really angry all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. I do think that a lot of parents recognize that they are angry people and that they have trouble not being angry with their kids when they make a mistake or when they do things they wouldn't have them do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when parents find themselves in that position, they will do everything they can to justify why this is the best thing for my kid. That's very common. But I think one of the things that I find interesting about why a lot of parents may find this acceptable is that in a lot of ways, this type of parenting where it's, I want a quick fix to the problem right now, and I want to solve this as fast as I can. And so I'm going to get angry and I'm going to hit you. And if I can scare you enough to make you act differently right now in this moment, then I'll feel successful. And I think that comes from just a lot of the culture we live in, because the culture we live in demands instant gratification and it demands convenience and ease. So everything in our lives is built around what's the fastest way to have my desires met. What's the, you know, I want something, I want to eat, I want to order something online. Everything in our culture is designed to push this like demand for instant gratification on us. Everything needs to be as comfortable as possible, as convenient as possible, as fast as possible.
And, I think, with as little effort from me as possible.
And so I think in some ways, because we've been trained in so, in every other aspect of our lives, every aspect of our lives, we're being trained to want things as fast and quickly and easily as we can get them. I think that that is affecting the way a lot of people parent too.
I totally agree.
And this will lead into next week's episode, but we see this on both ends of the spectrum where if my kid's doing something I don't want them to do, the fastest way for me to get a result is to do exactly what we've been talking about. Scare them, intimidate them into changing their behavior. On the other hand, or on the other end of the spectrum, where there's very like permissive, kind of weak, too gentle parenting, you have parents who maybe their kid is throwing a tantrum and they'll just stick an iPad in front of them. Or give them whatever it is that they're throwing a tantrum over. Just because that will, the thought process is, we want this tantrum to end. And if I can make this tantrum end right now by doing whatever, I'll give you the cookie, I'll give you the iPad, whatever. And we see that on both ends of the spectrum. And neither are great because neither seek understanding. Neither are equipping the kid. Neither are teaching. Neither are, you know, engaging and or even connecting with the
kid. I was just about to say neither of those actually equals connection. Either. It's just like, hey, shut up. You know, like an instant just like Band-Aid. And, you know, obviously the violence side is not like you wouldn't necessarily view that as a Band-Aid, but it is just like a quick fix. Like I'm just going to slap something here
It's a quick
to
fix.
Get what I want.
yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like the way you're acting.
Yeah.
So I want you to change immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do the thing I asked you to do the moment I asked you to do it.
Right.
So I'm going to see just how much I have to scare you and intimidate you to get you to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, both lack connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about like good parenting is it takes time.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to slow down enough to address the situation, address your own thoughts and emotions, address what's going on with your kids, address what they're needing in the moment.
Yep.
Because behavior is not random. So when kids don't inherently want to be bad and rebellious.
No.
And they don't ever want to be disconnected.
Yeah.
Every kid wants to be connected to their parents.
Yes. That's what they want. They want to be loved. They want to feel safe. They want to feel connected. They want to know that they're being taken care of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so, and oftentimes their lack of connection is the thing that's driving the behavior that is causing their parents to lash out in anger, which is causing further disconnection.
Exactly. And I wonder how often that disconnection comes just as a result of our convenience, you know, like with, you know, like you said, it's like, I'm not getting what I want when I want it, how I want it.
Yeah.
How selfish does that sound? And you know, like we have, you know, we've lived this. And so that's how we know how to do it better, you know, because we have lived in these ways that like, even, you know, like the other day I realized I was getting super frustrated with Izzy because she kept coming up asking like, can we play this game? Can we do this? Can we do this? Can you come do this with me? Can you do that? And I was like, no, I'm trying to make breakfast, you know, like leave me alone. Like you asked me for breakfast and then you asked me for this. And then it was just like so many questions.
Yeah.
And I felt myself getting like so frustrated and I almost was like, Izzy, stop asking me, you know, like that was going to be my reaction after like a culmination of me like, no, not right now, honey. You know, no.
Yeah.
And I realized I was like, okay, like, yes, she did ask me for breakfast. And so I was trying to, you know, give her what she asked for initially. But all of these other questions are genuinely just her just wanting to spend time with me.
Yeah.
So like, am I really going to get mad at her for this? You know, how backwards is that when I say as a mom, like my goal is to be as connected to my kids as possible. So it's in those moments when like in the heat of the moment, when you are like feeling that tension rising, asking like, hey, am I getting frustrated because my convenience is being compromised, you know, or is my kid actually doing something wrong here?
Yeah.
And I think when we take the time to ask just that simple question, like, am I getting frustrated because I'm not getting what I want? Or am I getting frustrated because there's actually something going wrong here? So many times of frustration and disconnection can be diffused just with that question of like, okay, is this about me? Or is this actually about them in this moment? Because sometimes it's going to be about them doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to take time to address that. Yeah. Sometimes it's just going to be like, okay, hey, I need to be less selfish in this moment and I need to actually allow this connection with my kid to happen. And yeah, that has been like a super helpful question for me, especially, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, multitasking with three kids, taking care of a baby while also homeschooling and making food and doing, you know, doing the laundry and all the things.
Yeah.
It's really easy for my convenience to be compromised. Because I would love to be able to get these 15 things done on my to-do list.
Right.
But the reality is usually two or three of those things get done because I do choose connection over these things that I would actually want to do because those things can be done later and connection is more important.
Yeah. And we see the fruit of that in our kids because like I mentioned, like we just don't deal with, like we deal with young kid sibling stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
They fight and they get on each other's nerves. And, but like, like the fruit of how we have been choosing to parent, I don't know how well we've communicated our thoughts and our intentions and our methods, but the fruit of it is that we have really healthy, well-connected kids
yeah.
who behave incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
They love well. They listen well. Yeah. They respond well. And yeah, like to me, it's like so worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't always go for the quick fix.
Yeah.
Connect with your kids. Spend time with them.
Yeah.
Get to know them well enough that you know what they individually need
yes.
in different situations.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I mean, because they need different things. They're mm-hmm. wired differently.
Yep.
If you have multiple kids, they're different.
Yeah.
And they want to connect with you in different ways. They will respond to different forms of discipline, different mm-hmm. ways. But yeah, get to know them
yeah.
what they need.
And realize too that like, if you made the choice to have kids, like yeah. allow yourself to be in the season of having young kids.
Yeah.
And take it for all that it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take a minute, slow down, and remember how much of a joy that this season can be with having kids, you know, ask yourself the question, remind yourself to slow down, remind yourself to connect with your kids. Like anger will not be as prevalent mm-hmm. in your life when you remind yourself and learn just to be grateful.
Yeah.
Even in the times that it's like, this is ridiculous, because let's face it, there are times with kids that it's like, this is insane. What's yeah. going on? Everybody's mad. Mm. Everybody's having a hard day. You know, like there are going to be those days, no matter how well behaved, no matter mm-hmm. how amazing your kids are. We all have those days as adults. Yeah. We still have those days. And sometimes it seems to fall that everybody has those days at the same time. But even in the midst of those times, like if we can just slow down and say, hey, this is the season that I'm in, and I'm not going to act like my kids are ruining my life
mm-hmm.
by changing up my schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many little things, little questions, little moments of just taking a breath
mm-hmm.
that can help to avoid those beliefs of, I need to be angry. I need to be violent in order to get back to what I want.
Yeah. I'll end with this thought that we've learned that raising kids and having them around can be as fun and enjoyable as you want it to be.
Yes.
And I've also learned that the quality of our relationships with our kids and the quality of our connection with them is totally up to us as the parents.
Yeah.
Because that's all the kids want.
Mm-hmm.
If it was up to them, we would have the most well-connected,
yes.
amazing relationships.
Yeah.
Because that is the only thing on their agenda.
Right.
Is I want to have fun and connect mm-hmm. with mom and dad.
Yep.
Yep. Like if you've got young kids, that's all they're thinking about, you know? Yeah. Yeah, they like video games and they like candy and they like, you know.
Yeah, but even in those things, it's like, hey, mom, hey, dad. They always want to include you in. Like what should I choose? Like, come watch me do this.
Yeah.
How many times with Nora, young kids?
Yeah.
Mom, watch this. Dad, watch this.
It's all day.
All day,
because
every day.
Even the fun things that they're doing, they just want us to be involved.
Yes. Yeah.
So the quality of our relationships and our connections with them is up to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really helpful to remember. And that's helpful to think about regularly. Yeah. Because when we are doing what you just described and we're acting irritably and mm-hmm. we're grumpy and they're trying to connect and we're pushing them away and sending them away and we're getting mad at them for wanting to hang out with us.
Yeah. Can I give a quick challenge?
Sure.
I would say, just in light of connection, what we were talking about towards the end, just find a time this week to go and just play a board game with your kids, have a movie night, I don't know if the weather's nice everywhere, but it's getting nice here. Go have a picnic outside for lunch.
Go for a walk.
Anything. Like, just take an extra 10 to 15 minutes in your day and just be with your kids and love on them and put your phone down. Like, how many times also does that disrupt connection?
Sure.
Where like, we're with them, but are we really with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been lots of times recently, especially that I've been convicted, like, put the phone down. Like, I don't need to be on that. I hate it.
Yeah.
And just spend an extra 10 to 15 minutes a day of just like loving on your kids. Read a book together, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but notice, and like with that, notice the difference in mm-hmm. your own heart. And I think you'll start to notice a difference in your kids.
Yeah.
As well.
For sure. And their behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. That like when you take that time, that's really intentional. They are going to notice
mm-hmm.
and they're probably going to want more of it.
Yeah. Heads up.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of the bad behavior that we see from kids is just a cry for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they have the connection that they're looking for, don't be surprised when the behavior shifts.
Yep.
And you didn't have to be angry. You didn't have to hit them or yell at them. You just had to spend some time with them.
Yep.
Okay. So a couple things. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you could do us a huge favor and like and subscribe, that's a very small thing that helps us in a really big way. Also, if you were listening to this on whatever podcast platform you listen to, whether it's Apple or Spotify or anything else, if you could do us a favor and leave us a good review, if you have found any value in our content, that also is a very small thing that helps in a really big way. And I think that's going to be it for this episode. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.